You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
A story here out of Stone County, Missouri. It was 2 o'clock early Saturday morning on July 18th, where deputies attempted to stop a vehicle on the north end of Kimberling City, Missouri. By the way, we're going to play a clip here in just a minute. You might hear some sirens unless you're breaking the law or sadly something has happened around you. These are not sirens in your vicinity. They are in the background of this police chase.
And they're very intermittent. It's very just like boom, boom. It's not going to sound like an ambulance is behind you.
So the driver fled south and then stopped on the Kimberling City Bridge, got out of his vehicle and didn't jump off the bridge. He dove off the bridge into Table Rock Lake.
Perfect form.
Contact Water Patrol. He just jumped over the bridge.
Yeah. Can you tell that the deputy is none too amused?
Contact Water Patrol. He just jumped over the bridge.
Just jumped over the bridge.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go home.
So Greg Louganis here.
he yeeted himself.
Yeah. So Greg Louganis, who dove into Table Rock Lake, has been identified. He's been captured as Gavin Lundgren. He is now charged with resisting arrest. C&I driving. What does that mean?
Let me look.
C&I.
I see driving. You, officer. I dive off the bridge.
Wow. Careless and imprudent.
Careless and imprudent driving. Thank you, Sam.
I like mine better.
Assault and resisting arrest.
Okay, so I don't know what this guy did, so please take whatever I say now with a grain of salt. But in this case, it's one of those situations where you're almost rooting for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just straight up, no hesitation, we're going, baby. We're penciling the arms over the head. We're going straight into the
water.
Actually,
it's a pretty
swan,
good dive.
It's a swan dive.
It is.
It is a swan dive.
Textbook, I might add.
It's one of those go, buddy, go moments.
They couldn't find him at first. If you see the deputies get out of their cars and they've got their, this was at night, middle of the night, 2 a.m., as I mentioned, and they're flashing their, they've got their flashlights and they're looking for him in the water. He's nowhere to be found. Gavin is nowhere to be found. But his ability to just get out of the car, trust his own instincts, that there's not going to be solid ground below him, or dare I say, a rock in Table Rock Lake, and to trust that there's going to be enough water beneath him with this dive head first, because it was a dive.
Yeah. Do you think he left a splash? That'll get you some points off.
My hat's off to the attempt at getting away. Serious story here from the New York Post. The independent autopsy of Nolan Wells is sparking even more questions after the preliminary findings were released today, though the NAACP conceded that the teen's tragic death may have been an accident.
They do not know what happened to this child.
So
the autopsy was essentially inconclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know.
So he and three other friends... the reason the NAACP has gotten involved, Ben Crump, I believe, is the person who was the lawyer for the family. Nolan Wells happens to be black. And the three friends that he was with on this, I believe it was a trip down to the Gulf of Mexico or Florida or something. I don't remember.
It was the fourth. And one of the buddies has said, we were all drinking.
Yeah.
He was drinking. Everyone was drinking. And he seemed fine the last time we saw him. The reason this story, for so many reasons, actually breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that race has entered into this so aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
When, based on what I know about the teenage boy, this is probably less about race and more about the age of the kids that we're talking about here. And I've, you know, not my first rodeo with teenage boys. I don't even need to know the race of the boys. If one of them is left behind, Let's say there's four buddies, I don't care, in any city, and one of them is left behind after they have all been drinking. The odds that there is going to be a life-altering, shattering outcome are so high around a body of water. Mm-hmm. How many times have I said on this program, I am never more nervous than when the boys are at the Lake of the Ozarks, and they don't go very often. But if one gets left behind and there's drinking involved and there's a body of water, I truly don't know what happened to this young man. I am so sad for his family.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's like necessarily, oh, he's black, we're going to leave him behind. I think teenage boys are like, where are we going? Are we going home? Did you have, I mean, it happens. I don't think that this is necessarily, again, I don't know what happened, but everyone immediately jumped to race. And I thought, if you've ever had a teenage boy, I mean, I can so see this happening. But it scares me to death.
And not to start a huge debate, but why did it go to race so quick? By the way, he was 18 years old, college football player. He and his friends were in Mississippi for a 4th of July trip, yes. And they had gone to Horn Island. I'm assuming that's off yes. Mississippi's Gulf Coast. But this turned racial very quickly. The NAACP gets involved. Ben Crump yeah. doesn't go anywhere unless he thinks that race was a major factor in whatever happened to
anyone. But they are now conceding that this very well may have been an accident.
Correct.
He somehow gets too close to the water or stumbles and falls in, and it's dark, it's kids are drinking, and mm-hmm. maybe it's just that. And I think part of the reason there's controversy, correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, is that their stories didn't necessarily align. When did you last see him? And what, you know?
So there are a couple of reasons why this particular story went to race. One, just because of the landscape in the United States over the last decade. That's just a fact, right? And some horrible things have happened to kind of push that landscape that direction. But also, to Dana's point, these kids were afraid of being blamed for anything. And
drinking.
So they were scrambling. They were afraid. It probably was nothing but an accident. But if you think that you might be culpable for some serious crime because mm-hmm. you were present when your buddy died, you're going to start making some stuff up to try to make it sound like you weren't involved. Well, those stories are then not going to run consistent with your friend's stories. And boom, it's going to be blown out of proportion by absolutely everyone who's reading the updates all over the country.
The family deserves to know, and it breaks my heart because they just may not. They may not ever know.
There is going to be another autopsy conducted.
A third?
Yes.
Okay.
Horn Island, by the way, is in the Gulf of Mexico. It is just to the southeast
yeah.
of Biloxi.
It's right by my mom and dad. I've mm-hmm. been there.
Yeah. You've been to Horn Island?
Oh, yeah.
How did they get out there?
Boat.
All right.
Boat.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
And some of the earlier conversation about it was that they left him there intentionally, and that it's accidents happen.
Teenage boys happen.
Horrifying things happen.
Okay.
But I'm saying the family deserves to know. I mean, they need to do everything they can, and I have faith that they will, to try and figure out what happened. But at the end of the day, if those three boys and the girls that they ended up with that night all decided to go back, and he did not, and they truly do not know what happened to him, that is not criminal. It is horrifying. It yeah. is shattering. It is sad. It is going to affect all of those people's lives forever. But it's not necessarily a crime.
And by the way, and a texter just added this, but I was going to say it as well. The reason that the other boys' stories may not match perfectly with one another is the alcohol. You know, I mean, you get drunk. Well, I'm not going to, but you, Dan, and Sam get drunk. Okay, and I start reading stories, and then I tell you, tell me the order in which I read all those stories to you. You would have a completely different answer than Sam and Dan. Well, I think you did we'll get to this one in a minute, the Ford guy getting fired for right. taking $8 from the company, and Sam would be like, no, that wasn't the first story. The first one was the ChatGPT going rogue.
I will tell you this, teenage boys and boats and alcohol do not mix. It almost rarely ends well.
And they couldn't answer for why they had his cell phone.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
They did have his cell phone.
Okay.
But if they were out swimming, it would make sense that the cell phone remained on the boat, right?
We don't have all of the details.
We're never going to know, Dan.
But neither did Ben Crump, and I'm not the biggest Ben Crump fan on the planet. He shows himself up
really early on, and then today they had to walk it back, and they said it is possible that this was just a horrible accident.
And Ben Crump having to admit that was probably pretty painful for him.
Well, you don't want it to be that. They were all friends. Those boys are shattered.
Yeah.
And I'm sure their parents are in protective mode, as any parent would be. You would sit down privately with your kid and say, what the hell happened?
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from CBS News. 30% of Americans say they have shoplifted this year. That is up from 24% in 2024, with many citing financial strain tied to inflation. About 90% of those who admitted to shoplifting cited affordability concerns and the broader economy as among the drivers of their theft. 2,000 people were surveyed, so you know it's good. Inflation has accelerated this year, largely because of the war in Iran and oil and gasoline prices going higher, $4 a gallon near my house. What are people stealing, okay, you may wonder, Dana Wright?
I was going to guess meat, and I would be wrong. I peeked at this list. I thought it would be, meat is always the number one shoplifted thing, like from a grocery store. It's always number one.
Is that ground beef in your pants?
Yep.
Are you just happy to see me?
Exactly.
It's ground beef, actually. Where's the door?
This goes deeper.
Food, though, is number one.
Food is on the list, but look, go on down the list. Some of this is like, oof.
Okay, so the number one item that shoplifters in America are taking are food and non-alcoholic drinks. Okay. Number two is clothing and personal hygiene products.
Believe it.
That's number two and three. So clothing is number two. Personal hygiene is number three. Here are some of the others, though. Toys, technology and electronics, and school supplies.
Ugh, that breaks my heart.
Where are they stealing from? More often than not, it's a major retailer, not a mom and pop.
So what does that say? Maybe I need some of these items. I'm a good person. I can't afford school supplies for my kids. I could never take from an independent retailer or mom and pop, but is it really so bad if I take from the big box store?
Or they think it's easier to steal from a big box store because there are more people and they have corporate rules that say, do not stop a shoplifter.
I think Scott is more accurate.
Where a mom and pop would be like, excuse me, whack. We don't care. Go ahead and sue us. We don't have much.
They're going to get you.
We're not Target. We're not Walmart. And you just literally are stealing our bread and butter, literally and figuratively. Get your ass back in the store and give it back. They don't care.
So it was 30%, and that's up from 24%.
30% up from 24, yes.
I would have guessed it was lower. 24% is still very high to me. If you had asked me what percentage of Americans say they do shoplift, I would have guessed 5 or 10%.
30%. Keep in mind, that's not people who admit to shoplifting. That's shoplifted this year, we're only 7 months in.
Everybody does it. Having spent 10 years in the retail space, the people that I caught were all different socioeconomic classes. It wasn't the guy that looked homeless. In fact, they were less likely to steal stuff. It was more often than not the guy that looked like he could probably pay for what he wanted from that retail space.
Listen to this. Shoplifters span all ages, races, and income levels.
Oh, sure. Winona Ryder.
Though data shows the behavior is reported at higher rates among younger generations like Gen Z and millennials. And men have a slightly higher statistical prevalence than women. I would not have guessed that either. I would have guessed
women.
Hmm.
Pressured to provide for whatever they feel they need to provide.
Good point. But keep this in mind. And Sam, I want to go back to something you just said a minute ago. You said everybody does it.
Yep.
I can't remember the last thing I ever stole from a store.
I don't mean everybody as in every person. I mean it doesn't discriminate.
It doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amateurs and opportunists make up the vast majority of shoplifters, roughly 97%. They do not plan the theft ahead of time and often just steal on impulse, peer pressure, or personal stress rather than financial need. Hmm. Professionals account for a tiny fraction of individuals, around 3%, but a large share of financial loss.
These are the smash and grabs that you see on TV.
Yep.
What are they called?
The flash mobs.
Flash mobs.
Yeah. Flash rob.
Flash robs. Thank you.
Yep. Mobs are dancing.
Yeah, they dance.
Mobbers dance, robbers steal.
Put the money in the bag.
What if you're a flash mobber robber? Are you dancing while you steal?
That is quite possible.
I'll take those rings.
We've got ourselves a flash mobber robber.
When was the last time you took something from a store that you, and don't, let's kill the sunglasses at Walmart.
Once when I was 15 years old.
What did you steal?
I facilitated someone else taking a sweatshirt.
What do you mean you facilitated it?
I did not stop it. And I knew it was wrong.
Did you know in advance that they were going to do it?
I sort of had an idea.
Was it a friend of yours?
Oh my God, they're really going to do this.
Was it a friend?
No, someone that I just sort of knew at the time that I worked with.
Did you both work in the store?
She came back from her lunch break and just giggling. And I was like, what? And she's like, look. And she opens her purse and there were like 5 pair of underwear in there, like from a Victoria's Secret or something. And I was so shocked. I was like, oh my God. She's like, it's easy. You just do it. And I'm like,
were you in a mall?
Uh-huh.
You worked in a mall?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and she just went out on a lunch break. You know, we all got like 25 minutes to go run down to the food court and eat and come back. And was so just unabashedly, look what I did. That's what almost surprised me more. She didn't do it and conceal it. She did it and then bragged about it.
And she, the underwear was something she could have easily afforded.
Yes.
Now, what's the sweatshirt story, though?
That was the same girl.
Okay.
And she was sort of joking about it, and then she just did it.
Now,
and I was working at the time, and I'm like, well, don't drag me into this. I don't want to get in trouble.
She stole from the store where you worked.
Yep.
And did she tell you in advance, hey, Dana, I'm going to go steal a sweatshirt. I'm going to put it on
she
and walk
like
out the door.
She was joking about a sweatshirt she liked. And I was like, okay, come on. Let's just. I was such a rule follower. Like, it gives me anxiety even thinking about that day. And I was not much older than 15.
But have you ever stolen anything that you're aware of?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Sam?
Much like Dana, I have been present for it. I didn't know it was happening. However, I used to catch my really good childhood friend. We would go to the establishment I used to work for. I didn't work there at the time. And we would get back to his house and I'd be like, those weren't on the counter.
Oh.
Was he like almost bragging about it?
He wasn't shy about it.
That's crazy.
Hmm. The only thing, and my mother put the fear of God into me. We were living in Fort Hood, Texas. I was probably 11.
Okay.
And we were at the commissary on base, and she went shopping, and I was probably looking at Star Wars action figures or something. I don't know. On a military base, you can let your kid roam around, and nobody's taking your kid on a military base. And I was in a candy aisle, and I noticed a package of Big League Chew was opened. And I reached in there, grabbed some, and put it in my mouth and started chewing.
Yeah.
The Big League Chew.
It was already open.
We go to checkout, and my mom said, where did you get the gum? And we had already checked out. We were walking to the door, and my mom noticed that I was chewing gum. She goes, where did you get the gum?
Moms don't miss anything.
And I go, I don't know. And she goes, Scott, where did you get the gum? And I fessed up that there was an open bag of Big League Chew, and I took some. She immediately turned me around, took me to the PX commissary manager, and said, I need to let you know my son is chewing gum that we didn't pay for. I don't know if she used the word stole, but he took it from the candy aisle. Do you want to do anything about it?
She just handed you over.
I am pooping in my pants like I just ate at Taco Bell lettuce. And he said, no, we're going to let this one slide.
Last time it happened.
And I never took another thing from
Don't you feel like, though, there's no gray area? You are either a person that goes into a store and comes back with three pairs of underwear that you didn't buy, or you're not. There's no gray area. Or like your whole life, you obey the law, and then one day you're like, I'm going to steal a pair of underwear. I think you're either a shoplifter or you're not.
Well, but I can, I'm not going to say I can excuse it, but there is a part of me that can potentially understand if you are down on your luck, you have no money, okay? Maybe you're unemployed and just can't find work.
Desperation.
Thank you, Sam. You're totally desperate and you steal to feed your family or you steal diapers.
Jean Valjean, you steal bread.
Right. Thank you, Les Mis. That was actually pretty good. That was a great reference. If you steal out of necessity and desperation, again, I'm not excusing it, but I can understand it.
I can't understand then why like hair coloring is one of the number one things stolen at like a CVS. Mm. That's not a necessity.
I once got home from the grocery store and for some reason felt like I didn't pay for the sparkling water that I had taken home, checked my receipt, realized I didn't pay for it, and drove back to the grocery store to give them the
$3.94. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Great song. My Father's Eyes by Eric Clapton. Jim in Bates City. Jim, hello.
Good afternoon, all. Hey, Scott, I've got a similar story to yours. Growing up in St. Louis, we had seven children in our family, so we didn't have much, didn't have extras, didn't get those things. And one day at Schnucks, I was with my mother, and we come out of the grocery store, get in the car, and I proudly pop open the Snickers bar, and I got the same thing. Where'd you get that? She knew I didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Marched me back inside to the manager, made me pay for it out of her money, which I had to work off, and give the Snickers bar back.
And I bet you learned your lesson, didn't you?
I told Sam, went to Home Depot a few years ago, bought 62 bags of mulch. They gave me 64. I took two of them back.
Oh, good for you, Jim.
Yeah. Karma. Karma is nothing to mess with.
Yep, I agree.
My mother proved that to me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was filling up yesterday and went in to, I think, grab a Gatorade or something. And this is the honesty of people. Somebody in front of me had purchased something with cash. And as he's walking out the door, could have easily just kept walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
He turns around and he says, I think you gave me too much money back.
Oh, that's lovely.
And he handed the guy behind the cash register a $5 in cash. And
that's lovely, because if the register doesn't add up at the end of the night, someone can get in trouble.
Well, many
right?
times it comes out of your pocket.
And the text line.
Yeah.
If I buy five bags of mulch and no one comes to help me load it, I will take an extra bag or two.
Oh!
For the cost of loading my own vehicle.
Oh!
Well, you bought it. Why can't you load your own stuff?
You're welcome for not reading your last four digits.
That is correct. We will say, though, that the last digit is four.
Interesting case out of Florida / Alabama / I think there's another one in there. Maybe Louisiana. Have you seen the mugshot of 38-year-old Isabella Rose Johnson?
No, I have not.
Mm. She goes by 96,000 different names, and authorities in Georgia and Florida are actively searching for her. The FBI has now joined in and upped the reward to $16,000.
What did she do?
She is wanted on suspicion of killing a 43-year-old man named Jason Coulthart, who was found off a property in Freeport last Thursday.
She has seven aliases. How does she know what to respond to?
Listen to the sheriff's quote. Justice is coming, Isabel, Harley, Jessica, whatever you're calling yourself now. Turn yourself in. Enough is enough. It's a brutal, I will tell you this without getting into details, a brutal crime. And one of these accomplices that helped her get rid of the evidence said she killed this man because, quote, he was annoying her.
He was annoying her, and so she killed him.
Yes.
You're going to go to prison for the rest of your life because somebody annoyed you?
This woman has quite the rap sheet. She goes by Harley Jessica, Jessica Elaine Bowman, Jessica Elaine Thrush, Jessica Elaine Thrash, Jessica Dowdy, and possible, quote, Denise. And, you know, I think the mugshot's making the rounds because
she's mildly attractive. If you put makeup on her, she's really attractive.
She is a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
And they are saying extremely armed and dangerous.
But those eyes in that mugshot.
Oh, she cray.
Yeah. Those are crazy eyes on her.
It's on ABC Nightly News right now. With David Muir.
With Muir. A Ford assembly worker who says he was fired after being wrongfully accused of stealing less than $8 worth of Doritos and Ritz crackers is calling on his former employer to, quote, do what's right and hire him back.
He wants his job back after what happened to the $2 cookie guy?
Nick Nabosny, one of the latest workers to claim that Ford and its food services vendor Aramark wrongfully branded him a snack thief, telling the New York Post that his firing has drained his savings, but he is willing to let bygones be bygones. I have no hatred towards Ford Motor Company or the UAW, he said. I just want them to do what's right. Nabosny, who is 38 years old, remains unemployed nearly months after his firing and said he had to cash out his 401k, receiving about $78,000 after taxes and penalties to support his wife and two young sons while he waits for Ford to act. After putting in nearly 9 years with a spotless attendance record, he wishes his union bargaining rep had prevented the firing in the first place. By the way, Nabosny, who counted at least four others from his division who have been fired over alleged theft of snacks, said the firing came in April after he stopped at the self-service marketplace following an overtime shift. Okay. By the way, the video he claims shows him going to the kiosk, scanning the items, shows him pulling out his debit card, tapping it, and waiting for it to register. And
I don't think the problem is with the employees who aren't stealing anything. The problem is with the system, A, and then with the management at Ford, B, who's like, yeah, we're going to fire him for that. This is the second time in, what, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Well, and the other guy was $1.95 worth of grandma's chocolate chip cookies or whatever.
And he did not steal anything either.
That is correct. And Ford offered him $33,000 in back pay and his job back, and he said, no, thank you. A French modeling scout.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Here we go.
A French modeling scout accused of procuring women for Jeffrey Epstein has been found dead in his home. Daniel Syed, who was named more than 2,000 times in the Epstein files, was found
2,000?
Was found dead in his home just west of Paris on Monday of this week. Cause of death currently remains unclear. Syed was being investigated in France over accusations that he helped Jeffrey Epstein traffic and abuse women. He had long denied any wrongdoing, saying that he had no idea the convicted pedophile was, quote, dangerous. He was 68 or 69 years old at the time of his death.
He's so shifty, they don't even have an actual age on him.
Mm-hmm. In one 2014 email, Syed appeared to compare recruiting women to fishing. In this business, I feel like a fisherman.
Well, in that business, we also know that sometimes people meet an untimely end.
It's early like Epstein.
So we can't figure out, you know, they haven't released the cause of death, but
they're waiting for autopsy.
Probably suspicious.
You think?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that everybody who might be in line to implicate very powerful, rich men, like Epstein himself.
And women.
Yeah, that's true. Ends up dead? Isn't that weird?
very, very coincidental.
There's one woman in particular who could spill the beans all she wanted to, and was moved to a posh little, if a prison can be posh, was moved to a posh prison in Texas where she gets to hang out with little dogs, which is against federal penal codes.
And if I remember correctly, the one victim that spoke out died by car accident.
Huh. That's weird. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. His name is Jimothy.
Oh, sweet little weird hopping buddy.
An oddly shaped raccoon named, this is from Channel 5's website. An oddly shaped raccoon named Jimothy is going viral. Mm-hmm. Videos of Jimothy wandering around Seattle have taken the internet by storm. Mm-hmm. The raccoon is known to locals for his unique shape. One local veterinarian believes that Jimothy has a congenital spine shortening disease.
Oh.
Quoting here from the vet, Carrie Schneider, it does look quite unusual, but it is a condition that occurs in other mammals as well. The raccoon has achieved legendary status online and has inspired fan art. If you haven't seen the video of Jimothy, It is clearly a raccoon.
Well, I wouldn't say clearly.
Who is very oddly shaped and walks very differently than other raccoons. And I'm sure the other raccoons make fun of him.
I hope he has friends.
I bet he does not.
Look at him over there showing off on two legs.
Somebody need a hug.
I think Jimothy needs a hug.
We might bring this back tomorrow. Airplanes could become as quiet as libraries.
Oh.
Congress has officially introduced another bill to ban phone calls during flights.
I thought they were already banned.
It is called the Quiet Skies Act. It is a rare move of bipartisan legislation that would finalize a ban on in-flight calls on commercial airplanes. If passed, it would force the FAA to officially uphold a previous law in 2018. Basically, we have a law, we have a regulation, they're not using it. This would force the FAA to enforce. So you could text, you could play Words with Friends. You cannot yakety yak yak yak.
You know what's
on an airplane?
You know what I have not seen on an airplane in a very, very long time was the phone that you could on the back of the seat where you could swipe your credit card and call from 30,000 feet or whatever it is. Whatever happened to those? I don't remember the last time I saw one on a plane.
You don't want to sit next to anyone using one. That's what happened to them.
Clearly.
I didn't know that cell phones could make calls from airplanes.
I believe they can.
Listen to this from Reddit. On a flight I took to London, the guy next to me was on his phone talking 3 hours nonstop.
Nope.
Wi-Fi calling. There it is. I was going to say, I don't think the waves go that high.
But you can make a call, can you not, from your cell phone? You just have to use
Wi-Fi calling. You have to be on their Wi-Fi and use Wi-Fi calling.
Okay, no, got we it. Should not be. We do not need that up there.
A story here from Fox News. Spending more time in bright daylight could help people fall asleep earlier and get deeper sleep at night, according to new research from the University of Manchester. Found that adults with brighter and more consistent daytime light exposure tended to fall asleep earlier, wake up earlier, and experience more deep sleep in the first part of the night. Sam's very proud of me. Routinely getting out of bed at 5 a.m. these days.
5 a.m.?
Not laying in bed feeling sorry for myself
good
until
for
10 a.m.
Yes, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Get up and get grinding, baby.
Amen. Amen. Hey, we got to run. Bonus hour is next. Sam, Dana, I'm Scott. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.